Thank you so much. Thank you for the song. That's one of my teenagers. Others of teenagers are back here too. Other families are back here. Oh, and my adopted family from Barber County. I'm glad to see that you're here too tonight, today. And we go back to youth camp. I love teenagers. I really do. And I love to see the teenagers that grew up in our church, and here they are now ministering other places. What a blessing. I'm just overwhelmed. I thank you. Excuse me, but I got a burden on my heart today. Turn your Bible with me. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. So while you turn your Bibles there, so good to be here at Grace Baptist. Always a blessing. And your pastor. And I was surprised when I saw him this morning. And this is his first Sunday back. After what, about 4 weeks, I think? Amen. God bless you. And I know that you have a church that prays for you, Pastor. I know that you do. And they love you. I love you too. Thank you for the ministry that God has called you into here, and what you're doing. I thank the Lord that you're my friend, co-labor in the ministry here. We have baptizing horses. I don't know how you'd baptize a horse. But it seems like some of the most peculiar things happen in church. I think some of the funniest things happen in church. Actually, Faithway Baptist Church, we started in January 1978. When I moved here December 77, it was a snowstorm. We never saw the blacktop the whole winter long. I never even saw the guardrails. They were all covered with snow. Man, that's living. Being raised in Miami, Florida, I love the snow. I was 18 years old the first time I ever saw it. And I see you're all excited about that. And but now here I am. The Lord took my wife home 2 years ago. And I also resigned the church 2 years ago. So you know what I do in February? I've got all these family and friends that live in Florida. And this past February, I did it for the first time. You see, there's a second time coming this February. The first time, I took the whole month of February. When you all up here freezing cold, 0 degree weather, I was in Florida. And I was going from house to house. And I was spending 2 to 3 days with each one of them. I spent the whole month there. 3,600 miles, I drove the whole thing over. What a time. Oh, I love it. One of our church members just left and went to Florida. I said, amen. You have an extra bedroom. Give me your address, and I will be there. And I'm planning, they're on my list. And but baptism. Let's get back to baptism, okay? Here it is. We started our church about the same time. We started in the basement. We just had a little basement cut out there. And at that time, we just had a metal tank for a baptismal pool. Four sides, no steps. Just had to put a chair inside and a chair outside. And we did have some red carpet on the floor, but we were trying to keep it dry. So we put some a plastic runner down in front of it. So when they splash, you know, when you get all the carpet wet and all this stuff. And so the last guy I'm baptizing, he's bigger than me. And so I thought about what you said, preacher, that, how will I get him back up? But, you know, I had a little bit of a problem. Because when I baptized him, I put him down under. When I'm picking him up, my shoes were on that plastic and had some water on it, and my feet slipped. And I'm standing on the outside of the tank because it's short. It's narrow. I'm standing on the outside, and when I'm pulling him up, my feet slipped, and My feet go up, I go back down, and he goes down with me. And I got him back up again. Kafoop, he went. Three times I baptized him. Until somebody came there, and my feet are up in the air, and they stepped on my feet. Kafoop, he shot clear up out of the water. Man, what a resurrection. Amen? He's never forgotten that, neither have I. Great things happen in church. They sure do. 1 Peter chapter number 5, please. Verse 7, the Bible says, casting. Oh my, I like that word, casting. I was raised in the ocean. I was raised deep sea fishing. We're always casting things. Amen. Casting the lures, casting the bait. Here it is. God says, hey, listen, cast your cares, cast your burdens upon him, for he careth for you. And so we are to be casting. We are to be throwing. Hey, listen, don't just hand them over. Get them to him as quick as you can. Cast them. Casting all your cares upon him. And as I consider it, let me stop for a moment, okay? Boy, that didn't sound good. But however, you know my son, William Gregory? Well, they call him, he goes by Will now. He's really, you know, he didn't like William, so he goes by Will. So Will, listen, he got COVID. And many of you know him. You prayed for him. And I thank you for your prayers. And he ended up at Ruby and with a double pneumonia and on the ventilator for 3 days. And thank the Lord he came off that ventilator. The first day he came off, he's doing better. The second day, it went real bad. It went very, very bad. As a matter of fact, he was at Ruby then. They had no ventilators left. None. And they were trying to make decisions. Who are we going to put on a ventilator? That's a hard decision to make. And so the doctor came in to his wife, Crystal, and he said, if we had to put him back on the ventilator, do you want us to put him on? His life is now in her hands. And you better take good care of your wife, because you might be on the ventilator. The doctor might be asking your wife, you want us to put him back on the ventilator if he needs it? No. Nah. Let him fight it out. He's a hard fighter. Let him take care of himself. He's never taken care of me. Well, anyway. And you get lazy. Men, you better be careful how you take care of your wives. Your life might be in her hands. Right? It was with Crystal. And so anyway, he's asking permission to let him die. And she said, if he needs to be, then let him be on the ventilator. And so anyway, when I left her that Tuesday night, I've never seen her cry till then. I left her crying. I went home crying myself. We have a church cemetery. And I went home, taking out the plans, fixing to lay out another burial plot to put my son in. What a hard day that was. What a hard night. I prayed, and my prayer to God was, God, if somebody else needs that ventilator, let them have it. Because I know that you are the breath of life. And I'm asking you, God, to be his ventilator. My daughter-in-law had not heard him speak in 11 days. She goes back on Wednesday morning. There's no tubes. And then he's awake. And he speaks. And his first words are, where are my shoes? And he went home 4 days later. Woo! Isn't God good? Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying. Amen. And I'm sure Pastor says, thank you for praying. And it's good. What's the church for? I'll tell you one of the things the church is for. To pray one for another. To hold each other up. And casting all your cares, all your worries, all your problems upon Him, for He careth for you. Oh, listen. God cares. He cares about you. He cares so much about you. He loves you. That's where His care comes from, His love. God is love. And God is good. And forget this thing that God's good all the time. God is good because He's good. He's good in the good times. He's good in the bad times. He's good all. You don't have to define it. He's good. He's good. He's good. And so, because He's good, He cares. He loves. He loves and He cares. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son for you and I. Why were we yet sinners? Christ died for us. He careth for you. Now it tells us, gives us a warning in verse number 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. One of the news broadcasts this past week came across, since May of 2020, here we are a year and a half later, 50% raise in the emergency room of attempted suicides among teenagers. 50% raise attempted suicide of our teenagers, and mostly girls. It seems like everywhere we turn around, especially our teenagers, they're attempting suicide. Some of them are succeeding. What's happened? What's happened? I look at our teenagers. What's happened? I think, first of all, they've lost their identity. We put masks on everybody. And, you know, you all don't look the same with a mask on. It's hard to read your face. It's hard to know what you're saying. It's hard to see your expression to be able to communicate with you. I think they lost their identities. I think also they have lost their relationships. They've been taken out. They've been taken out of the schools. They've been taken out of their social life. And they've been just stuck at home. What are they going to do at home? Well, the only thing they can do, they're going to be on their phones. They're going to be on their computers. I think they've lost their identities. They lost their relationships. Listen, God made us for relationships. God made us to have a relationship with Him. We don't do well without a relationship somehow, somewhere. Life is about relationships. They've lost not only that, but they lost truth. Because there they are on their phones and all these things, and they're being fed lies. Over and over, they're being deceived and lied to. And the social media, it became their go-to place. And it's filled with deception. It's filled with lies. With this also, then they go to the music there. And their music, it's not exemplary of the things of God. And then they go to their video games. And their video games have turned evil. They're looking for entertainment. Their entertainment is evil. It seems like they've lost identity. They've lost relationships. They've lost friends. They've lost truth. They're being fed lies. Their go-to, their game, it's all evil, evil. Look with me in the book of Ephesians for a moment. Hold your fingers there. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter number 5. God puts it here very simply for us in verse number 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. My folks, we got to do something about the evil days. We don't need to just sit around and talk about it. We need to do something. God says, redeem the time. It's our time to do something. It's our time to reach out to these teenagers. It's our time because our days are filled with evil. Consider with me along this line, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. God wants us to know something in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous, in other words, dangerous time shall come. So here it is several thousand years ago, Paul's writing to the church, to Timothy, and he says, know this also, that dangerous times are going to be coming in the last days. Folks, we have arrived. It's evil. It's bad. And you know what? Get it down. The devil wants our kids. You know why he wants our kids? Because that's a generation. It's a new generation that's coming along. He can take out a whole generation at a time. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, verse 2. They'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Man, have we arrived? Are we not living in the last days and dangerous times? Who was I speaking with? But just a week or two ago, and they have two kids. They have two grandkids. They're both in preschool. This is in North Carolina. They're both in preschool in different schools. And they're in preschool. And they're coming home and they're being taught. They're both boys. And they come home and said, I'm a girl. In preschool, they're being taught, well, I'm a girl. And both of them came home this way. I'm a girl. Whoa. Without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now read verse 13 with me. But evil men and seducers, a seducer is somebody that deceives us, shall wax worse and worse. It's kind of interesting. These evildoers, these seducers, they're going to wax worse and worse. I don't know about you. But when you, every now and then I have spilled some hot wax off that candle on my hand, and it just didn't come right off. It burns and burns and burns. Kind of worse than grease, is it not? Which is very bad. Hey, they shall wax worse and worse. They build up. They're on there, and they build up and build up, and it's going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen, we need to put it down. We have an enemy back here in 2 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the enemy, an adversary is an enemy. Your adversary, the devil. I find out, here he is, he's a roaring lion. The Bible said here, Peter said, he's seeking to devour. What's it mean to devour? It means to gobble it all up. Not just to gobble it all up, but when you read in the dictionary, they always refer to a wild animal. An animal that gets its prey and tears it apart from piece to piece and shakes it around, eats it all up, devouring. There's the devil, he's a roaring lion. He's seeking to devour. He's seeking to take your kids and take our lives and take you. And to tear you up from limb to limb, piece to piece. He hates you. He doesn't like you. You're made in the image and likeness of God. Thank God I am. We have an enemy. He's the devil. And he's after your kids. He's after our teenagers. He's after the next generation. He's already got the latest generation. He's after another generation. It's waxing, waxing, building up, worse and worse. Understand it, expect it. It's just not the days that we're living in, but it is the days in which evil men shall wax. They'll build up worse and worse. One generation, then the next generation. The product of our new generation. Now we're raising teenagers to be lazy. We already did that previous generation. We raised them to be lazy. Don't go to work. I'll tell you what. You might as well get it down. Life is work. Go to work. As a matter of fact, before sin entered into the world, God put Adam and Eve in a garden and told them to work the garden. It's good for them. And God even puts it out now in the New Testament. If a man doesn't work, he should not eat. Go to work. Amen? We have a responsibility to work, to feed ourselves, to feed our family. But now we have rights. We're so lazy that we have rights. We have a right that everybody else ought to take care of us. We have been mistreated. Oh my, mistreated. Thank God for some mistreated kids along the way. Quote unquote. Amen? Oh, you know what I'm referring to? I'm referring to the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge. To the seat of pain. Amen? And no wonder our kids don't. They have no respect anymore. They have no respect for right. They have no respect for wrong. They've lost their understanding. They can be sucked up into anything. They're being deceived. We have an enemy that's deceiving them, thinking, oh, listen, you have rights. You have been mistreated. You've been mistreated at home. You've been mistreated in society. You've been mistreated by everybody else. And you have rights. It's our time to rise up and let them suffer. They ought to be taking care of us. And we need to tear them down. Take everything away from them. Give it to me. Give it to us. Yeah. Preach it, boy. That's my man. Woo! You're raising him right, guys. Amen. I like that. I love it. Amen. So anyway, you know what this foundation is? It's socialism. It's socialism, folks. Why does the world need socialism? They're preparing us for the tribulation period. They're preparing us for a one-world government. They're preparing us for a one-world church. They're preparing it for the Antichrist. I got good news for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, He hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Lift up your heads then. The Bible tells us, your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, we are living in the last days. We're living in the hard days. But you know what? As a child of God, as a born-again believer, before the Antichrist comes on the scene, the Lord's taking us out. It's called the rapture. Amen? We're going to be caught out. God loves it. He said, hey, listen, this is not for you. I'm taking you out. This is not for the wrath to come. It's not for you. But till then, you want my new glasses? I'm glad I got a big nose. They keep going down, down, down. But you know what? They're still on. Till then, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober. Be sober. Have a clear mind. The devil wants to infiltrate our minds. If he can infiltrate our minds, he can draw us away from the Lord. If he can infiltrate our minds, he can take people and make them hard-hearted if he starts in their minds. Infiltrating the mind. Be sober. Have a clear mind. Not only be sober, be something else. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. That word vigilant means to be alert, to pay attention. Oh. I understand in a sense that some people say, man, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of what's going on. And I agree. Listen, you just can't listen to the news 24 hours a day. You'll be distorted if you do. You'll be discouraged if you do. You'll be defeated if you do. But you still need to pay attention. You still need to know what's going on. You still need to understand what's happening in our world. You still need to get ready to fight, to get into the battle, and do something with it. Amen? And so be vigilant. We need some godly vigilantes that are paying attention. They are alert to what's happening. So we need to have a clear mind. We need to have a clear vision. Why is it so important? He said there, because your adversary, the devil. Here's the reason. It's because we have an enemy. We have an adversary. He's the problem. Your adversary is the devil. You know, we used to think it was politics. No, Satan uses politics, but it's him. It's the devil. He's behind it all. We used to, some people think it's others. No, it's not others. You know what? The older I get, the more I forget. People trying to tell me it's normal. Now, my father, he passed away with Alzheimer's. And I watched all the phases that he went through. And so I'm concerned about myself as I am forgetting things. And so I asked myself the question, am I beginning dementia? Am I beginning Alzheimer's? All of us folks, all of us, I like how the Bible says it, aged people. Aged. You know, when things are aged, it's better. Don't you know so many of the meals that you cook, they're better the next day? That's me. That's us. Some of us old folks look at it and say, yeah, we've been fried a few times. We've been burnt. Preacher, you're not old. You're not old enough to be there yet. Okay. And so all this stuff with this, you know, with this dementia and concern like that. And so my health provider, she said, do you have any problems? What can I help you fix? I said, my mind. I'm forgetting everything. And so a couple of years ago, she told me, she said, let's set up a basis so we know where you are. And 2 years later, we can find out how you're doing. And so she sent me to their psychiatrist. And I got another word for him. But I like the guy. I really do. And so a couple of years ago, I went to the psychiatrist. I just went back about a month ago. They put you through a battery of tests. And I'll guarantee you one thing, they'll drive you crazy. And I told my doctor, I told the psychiatrist, I went back to him, I said, you're driving me, I was all right until I got in here. You're driving me crazy. Now I need a psychiatrist. And he laughed, he said, these tests are made to do that. Thanks. But anyway, he gave me some good news. And he said, the good news is that you're above average. And he said, out of four, they went through four areas. Two of them were above average. Another one was just on the low side of average. One side, I was exceptional. And I was accepted. This is kind of funny. He said, you're exceptional in management. And I said, no wonder I am. I had experience. I'm retired. I got nothing to do. I ought to be exceptional in management. I can't manage anymore. And I said, I'm useless. He said, here's your problem, preacher. He said, your problem is you don't think. You think bad about yourself. You're always picking on yourself, condemning yourself. That's what our test has shown. I said, I want to tell you something. I said, I come from a family of achievers. My father was an achiever. My father, he was playing Connect Four, the little children's game. with his 5-year-old granddaughter, and she beat him. You know what my daddy did? He went out and bought his own game so he could practice. A 5-year-old's not going to beat me. I mean, I heard Jim Seaton Friday night. Remember Jim Seaton, Coach Seaton? And he made it was the other coach, Zimmerman, Greg Zimmerman. Mr. Zimmerman said it. They were put into the Hall of Fame at AB College, but a Friday night. So anyway, he said, when it comes to winning, I've got a little bit of grace. He said, but when it comes to losing, he said, I'm a sore loser. I said, yes, my guy. I love that. I don't like, I hate losing. I don't want to be a loser. We are an achiever. I told him, I said, listen, my family's an achiever. I'm an achiever. My kids are achievers. And I said, listen, you can't achieve unless you look at yourself and find out your faults and improve them and do better. Well, he gave me an explanation that meant nothing. He's a crazy man. What did he expect? But how did I get on achievers? I'm chasing this rabbit, okay? Would you pray? He's going to come back out of the hole and I'm going to catch him. I am. I'm going to get him. It might be next week. But anyway, Satan there, he didn't want you to achieve. He didn't want you to do better. He thinks that he wants this generation that thinks that everybody owes them and you do it for us. Three simple things about the devil in that verse. First of all, you got to respect him. You got to understand him. He is our enemy. You'll never beat your enemy. You'll never beat your foes until you can understand them. Until you respect them. That, hey, listen, they're out to get you. Respect them. They're out to get you. You got to respect the devil. He's out to get you. He's out to destroy you. He's a destroyer. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a deceiver. And as a serpent, he deceives us. That's what he did with Eve. He came to her as a serpent and he deceived her, thinking that she ought to be a god. And he's a deceiver. In recognizing him, I respect him. There's recognition. As a serpent, he's a deceiver. And he comes to us as a liar. As a liar, he's a devourer, we talked about, that wild beast. And by the way, you remember there in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6 about Satan? He said, lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Talking about the requirements of a pastor that he not be a novice. Lest he be lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. What is a condemnation of the devil? It's pride. Pride. Thinking about myself more highly than what I ought to think. And so pride comes along and says, hey, listen, I'm so good, everyone ought to take care of me. I'm so good, you ought to bow down to me. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. That's kind of interesting. Haughty. H-A-U-G-H-T-Y. A haughty spirit. Well, you know, I don't use that word every day. So I had to go back and say, Mr. Webster, tell me about this thing about haughty. What's a haughty spirit? He said it's like being haughty. H-O-T-T-I-E. And so all of a sudden here, a person with pride, with a haughty spirit, they boast about themselves. And so they're being haughties. In other words, they are they take on the latest craze, the latest fashions, the latest things that are way out. And that's how our world is going. Somebody was telling me about the new emblem for Kia, K-I-A, the automobile. I don't know if you, I didn't pay attention to it, but you can't read it. It's K-I-A. You'd think it ought to be simple. When you look at those words, the way they've got it written, you can't read it. And yet, hey, what are they doing? They're going after a younger generation. Kia used to be an old people's car. Kia used to be a car for, you know, just looking for something cheap. something to get by with. Now here it is. They're going after the younger generation. So they're writing in letters that you can't understand. You'll see it. So, oh yeah. And that's what our people want. That's what our teenagers want today. They want to color their hair red, blue, green, purple, orange, all these different things. They want to do whatever is rebellious, whatever looks different, whatever's abnormal. That's what they want to do. Where'd they get it from? They didn't get it from normal people. We got an adversary. The Bible talks about that pride. They do it because they want to be noticed. Straighten that out. They want to be noticed. A haughty spirit. We also read about this lion. He walketh about. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so, he's walking around you. Not he's just walking around you. He's watching you. You. He's watching you. He's watching what you do. He's listening to what you say. He's seeing where you're going. So I got this crazy iPhone. I'm going down the road, and all of a sudden it says, you are 4/10 of a mile from home, turn right. It already knows where I'm going. It already knows where I live. It knows all that. Hey, it's telling me where to go, what to do. Isn't that stupid? Wait a minute. If this phone knows all about me, if this phone listens in, I can be talking about something. All of a sudden, what I'm talking about, all of a sudden, all these sales or different things come up. Somebody's trying to lure me into something. They know what I'm doing. They know what I'm talking about. Listen, if the phone can do that, if our modern inventions can do that, what do you think the devil's doing? He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He knows about you. Listen, get away from this stuff to say, oh man, I can't use a word, the devil might hear that. Duh, he already knows it. He knows it better than you do. Yeah. He knows where you're going. He knows knowing what you're doing. You don't defeat the devil by not talking about something. And get away from this stuff also. We're going to send the devil to hell. No, you're not. He's going there, but God's going to do that. And at the right time. And get away from this stuff. Oh, just send the devil to his place. No. God's got a different remedy. What's the remedy? Resist. Verse number 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. What's this thing about resist? That word resist comes from two Greek words. You know what they are? Me neither. So it wouldn't do you any good either. But I'll tell you what they mean. Now we're talking. They mean to stand against. Resist. Stand against. If you're an electrician, you know about resistance. You know about something that causes resistance. But anyway, we won't even go any further than that. Stand against something. You know what we need today then? We need a generation that will take a stand. And stand against something. And stand against the evil one. Stand against the devil. Look with me in the book of James. He describes it a little bit more. James chapter 4. Hey, by the way, I'm just about finished, all right? No. That boy, I love it. Didn't he say no? I think he said no. I heard that. Yeah, train up a child the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll say no. I want more preaching. That's my man. He's the man. Yeah, amen. Say amen. James chapter 4. They come from Barber County, by the way. Amen. I just thought you'd like to know that. All right. I won't tell you if there's anybody that Barber County wants to beat as Bridgeport. I won't tell you that. Just because you're better than we are, you know. That's why we want to beat you. But anyway, I'm not winning any popularity contest. Hey, James chapter 4. Is that where I'm going? Let me go back to my notes. Oh, I'm not in the book of James, or I can't didn't look right. Hey, it's there. It's there after all. No wonder you beat us. James chapter, we can't even find the book of James. James chapter 4. Look with me now. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. And I'll tell you what. God says resist the devil. We're talking about resistance. We're talking about standing against. But before you ever resist the devil, God says, submit yourselves to God. So in other words, when I submit myself to God, I'm saying, God, I need you. Not my will, but thine be done. Isn't that what Jesus prayed? Not my will, but thine be done in the flesh. He prayed that. And God, I need you. I can't do it. I can't do this by myself. You've got to do it through me. I need your strength, your power. I need your tools to do it through me. So before I stand, I got to submit. First of all, submit yourself to the Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He came to save. He came to save his people from sins. If you don't submit yourself to the Savior and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, what He's done for you on Calvary, that He became sin for us, paid the penalty, and offers it to us as a free gift. Listen, you're an open prey then to the devil. You'll never be able to resist him. You got to submit, first of all, to the Savior. You need to be saved. No wonder the devil's having a heyday. There's such a world out here that they have turned against the Lord, they've turned against the Savior, and they're open prey to the devil. They have not submitted themselves to the Savior. Not only do I need to submit to the Savior, but I'm going to find out here that I need to submit myself to the Scriptures, the Word of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians chapter number 6, please. Paul would teach us here about we're in a battle. He tells us in verse 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He tells us in the next verse to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Remember that word? Resist? Stand against? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There it is again. Stand it. Resist. How do I resist him? I stand against him. I stand against his strategies, his methods to destroy us. I stand against these things. I've got to know what they are so I can take a stand against them. And he goes on to say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And then verse 13, look at it. Look at this. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Withstand, stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Hey, we need to take a stand against the strategies, against the things of the devil. And how are we going to stand? And the next verse goes on there. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. With what? With truth. Where am I going to find truth at? It's the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. And so you know what? God also gives us a sword. As we stand there, our feet are standing, and I grab a sword, and I find out that the sword is the Word of God. Look in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We'll conclude now. Book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, please. Here Jesus is, in the flesh, in his weakest time of life, He'd fasted for 40 days. I get weak over after missing one meal. 40 days. And what? The devil comes to him at his weakest point. You know how the devil comes to you? He searches you. He looks about you. He knows you. And he comes at you at your weakest point. You don't want to admit it, but he knows it. He knows it. He knows the easiest way to get to you. He knows your weakest point. He'll know what you fall to easier than anything else. He came to Jesus at his weakest point. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Oh, verse 4. Here's what Jesus said. He answered and said, "It is written." You know how Jesus stood against the devil? He gave him the Word of God. He gave him the Scriptures. Yeah. It's alive. It's the very breath of God. It doesn't change. It doesn't move. It's eternal. With the Word of God, the worlds were framed. Wow. It's powerful. He took the Scriptures. He gave him the Scriptures. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Again in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, "It is written." Verse number 10, then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." Every time, three times. How did he fight off the devil? With the Word of God. He gave him Scriptures. He gave him Scriptures. As a teenager, it was a long verse. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you." This was my verse. And I quoted it to the devil many a times. "There hath no temptation taken you." When all of a sudden I'm tempted to do that which is wrong. When I was tempted as a teenager to do that which was wrong. Somebody looked at me and said, "Well, you lived a good life." No, I lived a hard life. I fought the devil. And I beat him with the Word of God. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Listen, what's happening to you is happening to everybody else. You're nothing new. Your problems are nothing new. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted more than you're able to bear." Oh, my, how tough. Sometimes I had to pray this back to God. I said, "God, able to bear. Look, I'm getting weak. God, I want to fall. I want to fall to it. I want to give in." And God said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to let it be more than you're able to bear. But with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Man, how many times as a teenager I prayed to God, "You better help me out. I'm falling. I'm slipping." And a telephone would ring, something would happen. Boom. God comes through. Amen. Yes, he does. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. That's how you fight. You stand on the Word of God. You give out the Word of God. Withstand that devil with the Word of God. Give him Scripture. Give him the Word of God. God's Word promises, "It shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper and accomplish that which I please." Give him the Word of God. That's the sword. Stand, withstand, stand. Stand with us right now, please. Oh, Heavenly Father, I do pray that you'd help us, first of all, to be an example to our teenagers. First of all, to submit to salvation. If we're here today and have not trusted you or received you, may this be the day that we come. And Father, with belief in our heart, and believing you so much that you have really paid the penalty for our sins, that we put our trust in you, so much that we'll call and ask you to be our Savior. For with a heart you said, "Man believeth," and with a mouth confession made unto salvation, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, help us to call because we believe it and we mean it from our heart. Now help us to submit to the Scriptures and do what you'd have us to do. And Father, help us to recognize we've got this enemy. And Father, but he's on the losing side. He's already been defeated from the cross. Lord, help us now to stand against him and take a stand. Stand strong. Withstand against him. And to not let him through. Let the word of God be the barricade from letting the devil get in, getting our minds, getting our life, and destroying us and disrupting us. The word of God will do it. Lord, help us to understand it. Help us to know it. Help us to memorize it. Help us to use it. Give us the verses of scripture when the devil comes. And Father, may we commit ourselves during this invitation to you, your will, not our will, to the word of God, and to withstand and stand against, to resist the devil as we draw nigh to you, as we submit ourselves to you. Lord, if there's areas in our life right now that are not given to you, may we submit it to you. And that if you don't have full control in these areas, let this be the time that we do that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. We're going to have and sing a verse of invitation in a moment. I think we are. And will we sing a song or? No, we'll play it. Okay. All right. And this is the time to come. What's our memory? What's the verse today? The Spirit says come. Was it this? One of those verses. The Spirit says come. The bride says come. Whosoever will, let him come. Take of the water of life freely. Was that it? Okay. That's the invitation. Come. Is it, you know, it just didn't happen that we sang that song. Or that we had that for our verse of scripture for today. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. Whosoever will, let him come to the Lamb. I'll tell you, the invitation is come. Come to him. As God speaks to our heart, as we submit to him. Now listen, our teenagers need some examples. If we can't be that example, then what are they going to do? You come, maybe teenager. Hey, listen, you'll take that stand. You be the one. I love teenagers because they're willing to stand when nobody else is. Come on as we sing. Just come right now. Please come. As God speaks to your heart, here's a place that you can come and speak to the Lord about it as he's spoken to you. Would you come please now?